From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
He's a student leader with an impeccable academic record, a young man with a passion for the humanities and the Black Church. This combination has earned the attention of the United Kingdom, which has selected him to continue his graduate studies as recipient of a highly competitive award. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and joining me today on the journey is Howard University's senior and 2016 Marshall Scholar, Joel Roan. Welcome.
All right, good morning.
So, obviously, congratulations to you. I would like to tell my audience a little bit about the Marshall Scholarship before we get into the process and learn a little bit more about you. The Marshall Scholarship was named for George C. Marshall, a former U.S. Secretary of State, and it's awarded to young Americans of high ability. Opportunity to study at an institution in the U.K. for graduate students in any discipline. It is designed to strengthen the relationship and understanding between the two countries, the United Kingdom and the United States of America. It is highly competitive. Over 970-plus American students are recommended from private and public colleges and universities across the nation, and no more than only 40 students are selected in any given year, and for 2016, there were only 32 selected, of which Mr. Roan is one of them. Your GPA must be equal to or above 3.7, and the students must not just simply be scholars, but leaders in their field. So with that in mind, tell me a little bit about what interested you initially in the Marshall Scholarship.
So my ultimate goal is to be a college professor. To do that, you have to get a PhD. I've heard it said that if you want to do a gap year in between your undergrad and your PhD, that you want to do something that won't cost you money and that will allow you to be relatively productive while you're at it. So I was looking for things to do in between my undergrad and graduate school that would meet those criteria. And so I applied for both the Marshall Scholarship and the Fulbright. I had no idea how big the Marshall was while I was applying, and it didn't set in on me until I got the interview. And then, of course, just doing the research for that, I discovered what I'd gotten myself into.
Okay. Now, you grew up in Fullerton, California.
That's correct.
Tell us about your family life, siblings, parents.
So Fullerton is a suburb in Orange County. It's quite different from Howard. So my Twitter feeds in between here and there are quite polarizing. So I'm in quite of an in between space there. My dad is a pastor and a doctor, so he's pretty busy, and I've grown up learning how to manage time well. I'm following in his footsteps. So I'm the youngest of three children. We're adults now. My sister's a nurse practitioner. My brother works for a bank in Colorado. My mom is a school teacher and a family therapist. So there's quite a few degrees floating around our household and frames and elsewhere.
And how did that influence you as you were coming through, you know, kindergarten all the way to 12, in terms of the fact that obviously your parents were well educated? They clearly instill in all three of you that college and university was a part of it, but what specifically about it did they instill in you around that?
My dad is a huge proponent of young people going to college. So I, both in our household and in the church, I saw my dad push young people towards education. So I always knew that I was one of the kids who was going to be the next big lawyer, like most people who start at Howard. And but I was just so competitive that just competition carried over into everything that I did. So like in sports and like in the classroom, I just always wanted to be the best, and I always had a drive that way.
Okay, why Howard University? What about your college, as you were looking at colleges, why Howard University?
So this might tie into my church background too. I was looking to get some distance from home. So DC met that criteria, and I also got a very nice award to come to college. I think that for many people graduating around 2012 when I did, the financial difficulties were strained on everyone at that point. So just in evaluating the best options, everything seemed to have come together with the aid package that I got, and of course Howard's prestige, and leaving Orange County for a place like Howard and its chocolate city, I think was something that was quite refreshing, because I went to a conservative evangelical high school in this Orange County suburb, and so I was looking for something that would kind of rescue me from that as well.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Joel Roan. He's a Howard University senior, and he's also the Marshall Scholar winner 2016. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So I want to ask you, when you look at the opportunity you had at Howard, obviously the aid package was good, but you got here very different from the conservative school that you were in. What are some of the characteristics you found here that resonated with what you intended to do long term?
I think that Howard pushes you to be not just selfless, but to apply your aspiration to something that will be meaningful long past your time at Howard and your time on this earth, I think. And Howard's environment is it can be scary, because I think each summer and each spring too, you're surrounded by people who are constantly applying for things. Everyone at Howard has an internship. Everyone's well dressed for class. Everyone has their resumes on point. So it's not that Howard's competitive in that way, but it's that everyone around you is pushing for some aspiration, and whether it's a very specific thing, like the friends I have who wanted to go to Harvard Law or work for Goldman Sachs, or whether it's those who just wanted to make an impact or significant change in their fields, whether it be politics or law or business or media. So I just think like the Howard's environment and just the precociousness of its students and undergraduates is something that pushes you to be productive.
So that environment of academic excellence is clearly one that motivated you.
Oh, well, I mean, it's not just academic. It exceeds that. It's outside it. It starts as academic and kind of seeps into everything else.
Absolutely. And our motto is truth and service. So you also spoke about that selflessness of not just giving back, but changing the environment around you. And certainly, it sounds like you got that from your education as well.
Yeah.
Now, you're the former president of the Sterling Allen Brown English Society. Tell our listeners a little bit about that position and why it's so important here on Howard's campus.
So the Sterling Allen Brown English Society provides a space, a creative space, for students across any major or all majors at our school to come in, and whether it be poetry, fiction, analysis of recent publications, to engage with the field of English. We found that there are quite a few students who majoring in English wasn't going to coincide with their immediate goals, but they still wanted to be affiliated and still connect with other students who were thinking and talking about literature and its related subjects. So the ways that we've made that a productive or an intellectually productive spaces. We've done quite a few poetry ciphers on campus, where we've actually featured a few professors to perform there. One of them is Dr. Winston in the English department. And when I was president, we had the poet laureate of Salinas, California, James B. Golden, come and read from his publication Bull. So we filled up the browsing room of the library, and that was agreed upon as well. So, and you know, it allows our faculty to engage with us too, because they get to advise us and help us work with our publication Sterling Notes, and sit in our meetings. And so it's just it's really beneficial for everyone involved.
Now, you tell us about how your plan and what you're going to use your Marshall Scholarship to accomplish.
So I will be completing a master's in literary studies at the University of Manchester. When you want to study American objects or subjects abroad, the question always gets, why in the UK? Because my project deals with Black writers and the Black Church, and James Baldwin is the most notable of those I'm studying, at the University of Manchester, they publish an annual journal entirely on James Baldwin. So they feature an article from a graduate student annually in that publication. And additionally, there is a professor there who's published like 7 or 8 books on James Baldwin and about 8 articles. So it absolutely suited my research interest. And additionally, in another more peripheral interest I have in the intersection between gospel and subsequent Black traditions. They also do an annual international conference on hip hop. And I think the one that they did this year was dealing with the way that hip hop has been actually prosecuted and used for policing gang violence. So just the opportunity to work and kind of push those two fields to intersect and to incorporate in my research is just something that I actually could not get anywhere else.
So tell me a little bit about James Baldwin.
Okay.
And your, I guess, perspective as you look at him from through an academic lens, and now having walked on Howard's campus.
Sure.
You know, tell me a little bit about your perspective of James Baldwin.
So James Baldwin, his work, his fiction, amplified and in many ways pioneered the homoerotic in literature. And that's controversial in a lot of people, and the reason why it's so important for my work is because he also writes a lot about the church. His father was a minister, and he was a minister for most of his teenage years as well. And so his kind of sexual awakening had this jarring collision with his like role in the church. One of his most famous novels, and probably his most famous one, is Go Tell It on the Mountain, and it chronicles his coming of age within the church environment, his exploration of sexuality, and how that sexual awakening produced somewhat of an alienation from that church community. And so where that overlaps into my work is the way that my very specific scope is the irony or the conundrum of the church's capacity for community building and the way that it serves as a role for the Black community to sustain and produce culture, but how at the same time it alienates those who might not necessarily fit neatly into like its norms and mores. So James Baldwin for me is alienated from like that from the because of his like homosexual identity, but I'm also looking at Langston Hughes, who he writes a short story where he fakes a conversion in order to be accepted into the church, and Ernest Gaines in A Lesson Before Dying, he actually teaches school in the church, and so he faces this this choice where he really desperately wants to leave the South, but because of his commitment to the church and its community, he ends up staying there. So I'm just looking at like alienation versus community building from a number of angles, and James Baldwin just happens to be the one that seems to be have studied the most already.
Well, you know, again, I think it's fascinating that you've been able to tie all of these together. We certainly wish you well as you embark on your scholarship. We expect great things from you. And obviously with your impending graduation, we look forward also to having you back here as a professor.
Nice.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Joel Roan. He is a Howard University senior, and he is the Marshall Scholar winner of 2016. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR World on HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, glasshouseradio.com, HUR Voices Sirius XM 141, HBCU Sirius XM 142, and 96.3 WHUR Washington.